Often people in the church think that we put more emphasis on the vocation to holy orders, priesthood, or the vocation to the religious life, and not that of marriage. And in many ways, I can see why people think that way. We have big posters saying, hey, are you called to be a priest? We have other literature and materials and stuff for those who are discerning a call to religious life. The same way, if someone goes off to seminary or they've ordained a priest, there's a big celebration across the diocese. So in that way, it looks like we put more emphasis on religious life and priesthood. The challenge is, and this is something where we should work together on, marriage should have the same level of commitment. We should be striving to promote the vocation of marriage as a sacrament as much as we do vocations to the priesthood and religious life. To give you a sense of what I mean, the sacraments of marriage and holy orders are on the same plane. They're at the same level of dignity. That's something we often forget. They're actually higher above than it would be for religious life. And the reason is, they're both sacraments. Religious life is not. Holy orders and marriage are sacraments. They're expressions of God's love. They're something that Christ instituted to show his commitment to us. And that way they have a great dignity. In order to help you understand the value of marriage, the church has set aside this weekend to focus on marriage. And I want to do that. I want to really focus on the sacrament of marriage and how we as a church can grow to appreciate and celebrate this sacrament better. To start out with, though, I want to emphasize the vows that are made at the rite of marriage. We often, in the midst of a marriage, go, with all these things are going on, so we didn't get time to reflect on the words. And since we don't see them very often, it's hard for a lot of married couples to realize and to appreciate the vows they have made and how it transforms their lives. So the vows for the marriage rite state this. Again, I don't have a couple in front of me, so I don't have names. I, fill in the blank, take you, blank, to be my lawful husband, wife, to have and to hold, in sickness and in health, to love and to honor all the days of my life. Those are powerful words. They're strong words. And I want to start at the end to build up what these vows are about. It starts out with a commitment. It is a very strong commitment. It's a commitment for life. We don't get just to say, oh, when our love fades, we can move on to someone else, or if I don't feel like it anymore, we can call it there. It is a commitment. And the reason for that commitment is to show that God is committed to us. Doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter how much we screw up, doesn't matter what problems we cause, God is always committed to us. And as a physical sign of this is the vows expressed between husband and wife. These vows show God's commitment to us through the commitment the couple makes. These are vows. There's only two groups in the church that make vows: married couples and religious. I make promises. They're not vows. Vows are between the person and God. Promises are between a person and a person. My promises are to the bishop. A married couple promises these things to God as a vow. They're strong and they're powerful. So I want to give you a sense of that value, that these are not just things we say. They are things we promise before God. And so as we build up, we start with the idea, this commitment for life. What is the commitment? It's not to be loved. It's not to feel love. It's to love. That's big. That means even if I don't feel it, I have made a vow to love that person, to give my life for their sake, to work to bringing them up. That's the power of those words. The vow the couple makes is to love the other person in all the different challenges, whether in sickness and in health. There's other options where it's rich or poor, in good times and in bad times, regardless of what may be going on. That is the commitment. It's a commitment to love, which reminds us of what the sacraments are for. The sacraments are there to empower us in the gift of love, that through them we not only experience God's grace, but can give it to others through that inspiration. So the call to marriage and the vows they make are a reminder that the love the couple shares is meant to be empowering them to love more and love more fully and love the people around them. To make another point that's important, the marriage vows are between two people. Not four people, not eight people, two people. Because it's hard for us to love more than one person unconditionally. We can really only commit to one at a time. And therefore, the vows as for life is committing to that one person. There is no one else. There's no one else for me. There's no one else I will love with the same level. This is the value of the marriage rite, the vows the couples take. For those of you who are married, I recommend you reflect on them. For those of you who are discerning the call to marriage, namely that you might be single and looking towards marriage, think about these. These are the commitments we make. These are what the church intends. There's a reason why the church intends this. We often forget this. Marriage is for the good of the world. Marriage is so that people know that God loves us, that there is love still in the world. In a world in which commitments are tough to make and people don't want to bind themselves, they don't want to feel confined by promises or vows they make, marriage stands as a gleaming example of what it means to be committed, what it means to give your life, what it means to have one direction in life and not to waver from that. In the same way, marriage reminds us that love still exists. In a world of hatred and violence, it shines very brightly in our world as something wonderful and beautiful, something we need to celebrate. And that is our challenge. We don't do well in celebrating marriage in our church. To give you a sense on a more statistical level, in the United States right now, 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's an exceptional number, 1 in 2. In the Catholic Church, 30% end in divorce. 1 in 3. So we're slightly better than society, yay! But that doesn't mean much. In order to really change that, we have to really see the discernment process, to work together and not just be about love. To give you a sense, when I was discerning my call to priesthood, I spent 6 years of formal discernment, followed by previously 5 years before that discerning as well. I spent 11 years discerning a call to the priesthood. When most people come to me looking for marriage, the church requires 6 months. That's quite a difference. Imagine if we had like 1 or 2 years and we worked together as a community to say, how can we support you in this vocation? How can we help you fulfill those vows? But it's not just those who are looking at being married. It's all of us. Every married couple will go through some challenges in their life. There's going to be something. Some are greater than others. The challenge is, how are we working to support all married couples? How often are we able to express, I'm having this issue in my marriage, and be able to talk freely about it to someone in our community? More than often, we're so afraid that if we bring up any of our problems, we'll be like the weird ones. Oh, you couldn't fulfill your vows. Oh, woe is you. You're having problems. Not true. All of us go through it in all ages of life. Even if people have been married 40, 50 years, it does not mean they're devoid of problems. We need that support. Marriage was meant for our community, not for individuals. It's meant that we could all work to bring up the beauty of that sacrament and help people live it well. So that is our challenge. To diverge onto another point, just to help make this point clear, I want to talk about annulments for a moment and then come back to my main point. Because a lot of the times we have a misunderstanding of the importance of annulments. Annulments are the church's way of helping people realize the marriage didn't happen and to allow people the freedom to marry. That's what it is. So what annulment does is it looks back on the moment the vows were taken, because that's the moment that's the most important. Did the vows actually happen? Were the people mature enough to be able to make that commitment? Did they understand what they were committing to? Were they coming with some sort of corrosion or something that was going on in their lives? What happened at the moment they took the vows that made it so that they didn't really mean to do that? And so if it's proven that that was the case, the marriage is annulled. It didn't happen, which then gives the people freedom to marry. Because let's be frank, if we were very blunt to what Jesus told us and said, once you're vowed, it's done. Yikes. That could cause a lot of problems. Some people just don't enter into the marriage with the right intention, which is why discernment is so important and so vital, to really revigorate that idea of discerning well, praying well, working together to support people as they take those vows is critical. The goal of the annulment is twofold. First, to help the realize the marriage didn't exist, but also to help realize the healing that needs to happen. When you get to the point where you're looking at divorce and annulment, there's pain. It's hard. And so to be able to work through that, to pray through that, to be able to assess what's going on, can bring great healing to whatever happened in that particular situation. So the annulment wasn't meant to be this horrible process. It was meant to keep the tension of the two ideas together. One, that Jesus meant what he said. Once we're vowed, we're vowed. How do we live that out? But the same token, life, it doesn't work the way we anticipate. Things don't go the way we always want. How do we heal that? How do we work to bring something good out of a bad situation? So as I end this homily, I want you to imagine with me. I want you to imagine what it would look like if we started to support the vocation to marriage differently in our community. What if we had support groups? What if we had the freedom to talk to people about issues we're having in our marriages and be able to receive counsel or help or guidance or support in the midst of that? What would it look like if we started to support young people as they look toward the call to marriage, helping them to realize what it means to pray, what it means to find the right people, what it means to realize the vows we take? Imagine with me if we supported the vocation of marriage to the extent that we saw the love that God poured upon those couple permeate our community. Our world would be different. It would be beautiful. It would be wonderful. We'd realize the value of these sacraments in a different way, and not just see marriage as a natural thing we do, but as an expression of God's great love.